This chazar is the nechinish of Sabachi Chesach Shragam Rabbi Yehuda Mesech Menachas Daf Nun Vav. Shecht Gemara. Gemara had explained that the reason that the requirement to be shechted in the north would have been limited to the Nasi's Chatos, if not for the additional Pasuk, is because of the words Oysa in the Pasuk of the Nasi's Chatos, which would seem to teach that only that Chatos would have to be shechted in the north, in the Tzafen. Now that we do have the additional Pasuk, so what does the word Oysa come to exclude? After Gemara, it's needed as Dashin in a Braisa, which says that the Pasuk teaches that only it, the Nasi's Chatos discussed in the Pasuk, needs to be shechted in the north, but to exclude the chatas of Nachshon, which is the chatas brought by the Nesiim at the time the Mishkan was put up, that did not need to be shechted in the north. We would have thought that since Rabbi Yehuda said this chatas needed smicha, it needs tzofen as well. That's why it says oisoy over here to teach that it did not need to be shechted b'tzofen. What about according to Rav Shimon, who says that it did not need smicha? So Mazuta, the son of Rav Tavi, said to Ravina, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't say that we would have thought that since it was included in smicha, it should be included in tzafen, because we would not learn this one-time carbon from other karbanos that are brought for generations. Therefore, Oysa is not needed to exclude the tzafen requirement of the chatas of Nachshon. Rather, Oysa teaches that the animal must be in the north when it's shechted, but the sheichet does not need to be in the north, standing in the north, when he does the shechita. This halacha is learned in the Braisa from the Oysa of a different pasuk. So the Oysa written regarding the Nasi's chatas is not needed for this. And for the more, rather, it teaches that the shechita of the animal needs to take place in the north, but the malika done to the bird carbon does not need to take place in tzofen. A braisa says we would think that a shechita, which can be done without a kohen, needs to be done with tzofen, and malika, which must be done with a kohen, certainly must be done with tzofen. That's why we need oisai to teach malika does not need to be done with tzofen. Maybe the reason the shechita of an animal must be done with tzofen is that the shechita must be done with a keli, but malika, which is done with the kohen's hand, we would never think that it has to be done. So why do we need Oysai? And for the Gemara, rather, Oysai teaches that the Nasi's Chatas must be brought B'tzofen, but the Korban Pesach does not need to be Shechted B'tzofen. A Braisa says we would think that if the Shechita of an Oila, which has no set time, has to be done B'tzofen, then Shechita of a Pesach, which has a set time, surely must be done B'tzofen. That's what we need Oysai to teach, that Shechita's Pesach does not have to be done B'tzofen. For that Gemara, maybe the reason an Oila has to be Shechted B'tzofen is because it's totally burned on his Mizbech, but there would be no reason to think that a Pesach should need to be Shechted B'tzofen. Gemara said we would make the same Kal V'Chomer from a Chatas, which is not totally burned. Yeah, but maybe a chatas needs tzofen because it brings a kapara for a various akari a chi of karis. And we say, well, fine, we make the same kal v'chomer for an asham, which does not bring a kapara for a chi of karis. Maybe an asham, and truth is, all the other ones also, the oila and the chatas, they all need tzofen because they're kachim kadoshim, but a pesach, which is only kachim kalim, doesn't need tzofen. So why is oisai needed? As more oisai comes and teaches, like we said initially, that the animal must be shechted in the north, but the shoichet does not need to be standing in the north. Although we ask that that's already learned from a different pasuk. We'll say that the reason we learn it twice is to teach that although the sheichet doesn't have to be in the bitzafim during the shechita, the kohen who's doing the kabbalah does need to be bitzafim when he does the kabbalah. But this is already known from a different pasuk of v'lokach. After tomorrow, he does not darshan a vav in this way, so v'lokach, and therefore he needs the oisai to teach this halacha. Okay, right in the Mishnah then said, V'chayiv ali shosa, v'yala richosa, v'yala fiyosa. Rapapa said, a person who baked the chametz mincha is chayiv two sets of malchus, one for shaping, one for baking, because the baking is the sort of the end of the shaping. In fact, the Braisa quoted earlier said that one is chayiv a single set of malchus for baking, and for tomorrow, that Braisa is discussing where the person did the shaping and the baking, and he's therefore chayiv one for the shaping and one for the baking. Rapapa, on the other hand, is discussing where one person did the shaping and then gave it someone else to do the baking. In this case, since the baking is also the final step of the shaping, he'll be chayiv one set of malchus for the shaping and one for the baking. A Braisa says if an animal bechor had a life-threatening blood condition which could be healed by letting blood from it, Rav Meir says we may only let blood in a way that would not make a mum in it, even though it currently is in a life-threatening situation and therefore is already a bal mum. Now Chum say we can let blood even if it will cause a mum, as long as we don't remove it from kedusha and allow the kohen to eat it based on the mum that we have now created. Rav Shimon says we may even allow the bechor to be eaten by the kohen based on this mum caused by the bloodletting. Rav Yehuda says even if the bechor will be left to die if it's untreated, still we do not let blood and to heal it, and then we let it die. Mar says the base machlok is whether we can cause an usur result, meaning making the bechor into a bal mum, when the result already exists because it's right now going to die anyway. Rechia bar Abba, the name of Yochanan, says all the tanaim would agree that in the case of where one who processes a chametz mincha after another person who already processed the chametz mincha, the person would be chayiv because the pasuk says loyseyasa chametz, and also says loyseyafe chametz. All these tanaim would also agree that if one castrates an already castrated animal more severely than when it was already castrated, he'd be chayiv because the pasuk says umauch kasus v'nasu. pasuk v'karus, which teaches that one is chayiv for the latter, even if the previous was already done. Rav Meir Chacham only argued in the case of the brayso. Rav Meir holds that the case of kol mum lo yiyeh boy teaches that it's absolutely always also to make a mum in the animal, even if there was already a mum there. Whereas the Rabbanan hold that the pasuk of tamim yiyeh l'ratzon teaches that it's only also to make a mum if the animal was a tamim, but if it was already a bal mum anyway, the issur to make a mum does not apply. How does Rav Meir dash in the pasuk of tamim yiyeh l'ratzon? As Gemara, he uses it to teach that an animal that was born with a mum is not subject to the issur of making a mum in it. An animal born with a mum can never be made kaddish, so it's obvious that it could not, that would, there would be no issur for it to make a mum in it. Rather, Zakhti Gemara, he uses it to teach that the issur does not apply to a carbon that becomes pasul and was then redeemed from kaddish. We would think that since it remains also to be shorn or worked, it's also also to make a mum in it. The pasuk therefore teaches that the issur does not apply. How does Rabbanan dash the pasuk of kol mum lo yiyeh boy? And for Gemara, they use it to teach that one may not even indirectly cause a mum. For example, by putting dough on the animal's ear, causing a dog to come and bite it, thereby making a mum in the ear.